it's what is so amazing that, you know, when I travel and visit, you know, disciples all over South Africa and sometimes the world, it's amazing how quickly we disconnect, isn't it? You know, we haven't been around, we haven't seen each other for a while. I've been busy at work, but as soon as we're with disciples, we just connect in and through the Spirit. So we've experienced that very much since we've been here. We appreciate Mark and Joan so much for their hospitality. Spent great time with others, and we look forward to spending more time with some of you this today. It's just so special being in this family that God has placed us in. You know, last week this time, I think the slide will come up. Last weekend, we were somewhat occupied completing this race, which is a mountain bike race. It starts in Willamore, goes through the Bubby Arns Kloof, and ends in Jeffreys Bay. And it's quite a tough race. You know, Werner mentioned early on that there's some words that just don't translate into English, and I think flow is one of them. Another one is fussbait. You know, and I'm going to speak about endurance and perseverance, but that Afrikaans word, fussbait, just says it all. You know, it takes some fussbait to finish a race like this. You don't need to be particularly skilled, to tell you the truth. You just need to be reasonably well trained and fit. But more than anything else, it just takes perseverance pushing through fussbait. And there are a lot of parallels between this kind of endurance race, whether it's a mountain bike race or an Ironman or Comrades. But there's a lot of similarity between endurance events like this and the life in Christ, right? And what helps me finish these sort of events, two things really. It is that feeling of satisfaction and joy that I know I will experience at the end, right? I look forward to the end. And secondly, it is the fear of having a DNF next to my name. Any of you know what DNF stands for? Did not finish. You know, at the end of races like this, the results are published on the website, typically. And if you go through all the names, you'll see the leaders. I'm never up there, nowhere near. You know, you'll see the positions and the times. And then at the bottom of the page, often it's a long list of names. And there isn't a time next to the name, but there is a DNF. And to be honest, I think, a healthy fear of recording a DNF in this kind of race. I don't think I'm particularly smart or skilled or fit to tell the truth, but what I do have is fussbait. And I praise God for that, and I thank God for that. I think that's one of the greatest gifts God has given me, is my ability to finish things that I start. And I pray that I will have that kind of attitude and that kind of fussbait in my spiritual life that I have in these sort of physical events. Okay, so we're going to speak about fussbaiting as Christians. Now, fussbaiting through this life in Christ that is really an endurance race. And if you are in Christ, you are in this endurance race, whether you like it or not. Amen? You know, we are all endurance athletes. Yes, it's not physical challenges. Sometimes it is. It's certainly mental challenges. It is spiritual challenges. It is relational challenges. I just want to show you a couple of pictures. Did you see the earlier ones as well, maybe, of through the race? Amen. What's more important is the one at the end. Yeah, I know I look a bit tired because I was tired, okay? I find it hard to smile when everything is just sore. But that's at the end of the race. That's at 2:30 in the morning. The other photos were during the night, I think after about 12 hours. We start at 10 o'clock in the morning, right into the night. Guys like us who finish near the end of the field finish at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Okay, and then the next slide, that's after we're nice and cleaned up, wearing our finishers' T-shirts, which I'm still wearing under this, I might admit or confess, and the medal around our neck. Okay, and that is what you have in mind when you are going through the pain of a race like this, right? This is what it's all about. At the finishing line with the medal, celebrating with your team. And you obviously can imagine already some similarities between this and the race that we're in, not so, this Christian race that we are in. So the lesson today is taken from Hebrews chapter 12, only 3 verses, and we're going to dig into these verses a little bit here. But first, a bit of context. The book of Hebrews is written to a group of Christians, Jewish Christians, in other words, converts from Judaism to Christianity, who are finding that this new life in Christ is somewhat tough. Right? Jewish converts to Christianity typically were disowned by their families, and they were excluded from economic activity, right, in the Jewish culture. So you found some Christians, at least, possibly many of them, who after a while started to wonder whether the sacrifice was worth it, right? They came from, you know, positions of being respected, accepted by their families, maybe having big jobs, to really often being poor, rejected, and having no status at all in society. You know, this was tough for them, and many of them were tempted to go back to Judaism. And the main theme in the book of Hebrews is that the New Testament, the New Covenant, is far superior to the Old Covenant, and Jesus is far superior and better than anything else. Right? So the writer of Hebrews reminds them of this. And he says to them, it's worth persevering. It is worth fuss baiting because of what awaits them at the end. He says you need to persevere through trials to share in the glory of Jesus. Now, our modern day context is somewhat different. Maybe by a show of hands, yeah, any of you struggling with temptation to go back to following the law? Not too many. There's maybe one or two people. Right, maybe the very legalistic, guilt-ridden souls. I don't know. But anyway, but in general, not too many of us are tempted to go back to follow the old covenant law, are we? You know, but we do have temptations of our own. You know, we struggle with temptations to go back, to revert to our old way of life. We struggle with temptations to take up maybe an easier form of Christianity. Now, there are many churches out there that offer easy believism. You know, a much easier form of Christianity that doesn't offer or doesn't refer to hardships and suffering. It's all about God's blessings. Many of us, since taking up the life of Christ, have experienced difficulties and hardships, maybe persecutions, maybe rejection, maybe not being promoted at work, you know, whatever it might be. And there is a temptation to go back to our previous way of life. Let's read verse 1, Hebrews 12, verse 1. In fact, I will read through all three verses and then come back. Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You know, this passage in Hebrews 12 is one of the most familiar passages in the Bible. It's also one of the most profound passages. And in it, the life in Christ, the Christian life, is compared to a race. But not just any kind of race, as we will see. And today we're going to look at this race from four angles. We're going to take four perspectives on the race. We're going to look at the event itself. We're going to look at the encouragement, the example, and the end. Okay, just four points. But let's start with the event itself. You know, the Greek word here that's translated race is agon, A-G-O-N. Does that remind you of an English word? Agony, agonize. It's actually the root word for agony, agonize. That tells you something about this race, doesn't it? You know, the race that we are in is hard. We're going to agonize at times. It's going to be sore. It's going to be painful. You know, this is not a 100-meter sprint. I'm sure you've heard this analogy many times. And I would bet that almost all of us here, if we had to go outside into the parking lot and mark out 100 meters, and I blew a whistle, we would all be able to finish that 100 meters. You know, if you've been able to get into church, no matter how slow or fast you might be, I don't think we'll break any records. But I do think that the vast majority of us here would be able to finish 100 meters without too much effort. Am I right? Different story, right? If all of us lined up today for the Ironman. That would be a different challenge, I'm sure you would agree. You know, when we signed up for this life in Christ, you know, it is like signing up for an Ironman, or comrades, or Transbaviaan's mountain bike race. You know, and the writer of Hebrews makes that clear. He said, this is agon. This is a long endurance race. And everything, you know, prepare yourself for that race. Run this race. Time yourself. Pace yourself. And we will see the other advice that he gives us. You know, in the Transbaviaans, there are five big hills, particularly big hills. One of them is called Big Mac. Mac stands for the mother of all climbs. And believe me, it is the mother of all climbs. I think it's about 12 kilometers long. I don't know how you climb, but it is 12 kilometers of just serious uphill. And the first time I did this race, three or four years ago, one of the teammates I was riding with had ridden the race before, and as we started Big Mac, I looked up to the left and I saw these lights. You know, there were stars as well, but these lights looked a bit different. They were kind of in a line. And I said to Frank, please tell me those are stars. And Frank said, nope, that's where we're going. And you wind around this mountain pass, but literally you look up to the top. And, you know, I've done the race a few times now, but it is always tough. You know, halfway up this hill, there is such a temptation to stop. But even if you stop and push your bike, it's still painful. And, you know, as mountain bikers, we have this little gear called the granny gear. And that granny gear is never easy enough. You kind of wish you had another granny gear and another granny gear. Right? You just hang in. Your legs are sore. Lactic acid builds up. You know, you're physically tired. And you think, why am I doing this, for goodness sake? Right? But then you picture the end. You know, you picture the medal around your neck. You picture the, you know, the joy, the sense of satisfaction, and the supporters that are going to be at the end cheering you home. And for me, as I say, I'm driven also by I will not have a DNF next to my name. Sometimes it helps to be stubborn and, you know, in some ways, it can be a good thing. You know, you just keep on turning over the pedals. You know, it's agonizing, it's sore, but you keep going. And the Christian life is much like that. Yes, there are great blessings. Yes, we do not have those hardships and go through that agony all the time. Right, there are amazing times of joy and freedom and fellowship, and it's awesome. But Jesus himself promised us that as he was persecuted, we will be too. We take up our cross daily. It involves sacrifice. At times, it involves suffering. That is this race that we're in. You know, the race, the Transbaviaans, also has downhills. Right, what goes up must come down as well. And there are easy sections, but there are also tough, tough sections. And that's what the Christian race that we are in is like as well. Now, it also requires that we travel light. So it's an endurance race, but it also requires that we travel light. Have you guys watched the Comrades Marathon? You see those runners in the beginning? What do they wear? As little as possible, right? You know, and it's the same with a mountain bike race. You don't carry stuff in your pockets and on your bike that are unnecessary. What always fascinates me as well, just sticking to the bicycle sort of analogy, Tour de France, Nolene and I like watching. It always fascinates me that as the bikes line up for the sprint, the guys will be turfing the empty plastic bottles off their bike. Have you seen that? Like every 20 grams counts. You know, they make their bikes as light as possible. And in this Christian race that we are in, this race of life, we've got to be as light as possible. We're weighed down by sin. You know, sin that's not confessed, sin that's not brought to the surface to be dealt with. Sin, you know, that we don't continually try to repent of just weighs us down. You know, I speak for myself at times when things haven't gone well and there's stuff going on, I haven't spoken about it, weighs me down. You the same? You know, it's a burden. You know, so we've got to get rid of the sin. We've got to confess it and let it be dealt with to be as light as possible if we are to finish this endurance race. But it's not just the sin that, you know, that hinders us. You know, the author of Hebrews says we must throw off everything that hinders. You know, sin weighs us down, certainly. You know, we will not finish the Christian race if we carry sin. But the other things that burden us, that we need to lighten ourselves of. You know, Christians in the first century, these Jewish Christians, were weighed down by legalism. You know, their temptation to go back to obeying the law. You know, legalism can hold us back as well. You know, any effort to do good works for our salvation rather than doing good works out of or from our salvation, that kind of legalism weighs us down, right? We've got to throw off that legalism. Other things that, you know, that hold us back, you know, I believe are things like doubts, anxieties and worries, the worries of the world, trust issues, insecurities, maybe life traps that we are not dealing with. You know, all of these things just add weight. They add weight and make it very difficult for us to run and finish this race. You know, so we need to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. So that's the event itself, the encouragement. Oh, we need encouragement to finish this race, don't we? You know, the Transbavians is a team event. As I mentioned, we competed in this event as four of us. By the way, I didn't point out Duncan Comrie there. Did you recognize him? Okay, Duncan was the fourth rider. Amen. And you would have seen my daughter Jess there as well, I hope. Sorry, I should have introduced the team. So we were this close team. Duncan was very privileged to ride as part of the Trollope team. We made it clear that this is a Trollope team, bro. But you kind of adopted into the Trollope family for this one day. But it was awesome riding as a team, and it was important to ride as a team. You know, the first 120 kilometers of this race really just warms up your legs. It's reasonably flat. It's a wide road, but it's very corrugated, and it's very dry, and we were riding into a headwind, a slight breeze. And what you do then is you take in turns riding in front. The guy in front looks for the best line. The people behind basically draft him and get protected from the wind. So you share the load. You share the load. And then you put your lights on. You know, before you climb some of the big hills, which you do at night, put your lights on. And you encourage one another continually. And you ask questions, how are you doing? How are you doing, bro? You eating enough? You know, can I help? You know, that's just the way it is. And when you get to the top of Big Mac, right, what goes up must come down. On the other side, the hill down, it's twice as steep, believe it or not, going down. It's called the Big Dipper. And on the left-hand side of the Big Dipper is a sheer cliff, which you don't see at night, which is probably just as well, but we know it's there. And you have a very responsible person leading the team down. Which was me. Amen. As someone who's sensible, who's got a well-developed prefrontal cortex, right, as we were discussing with the older guys last night, sensible, risk-averse, just we will go slower than we need to, right? Why? Because if you go off that cliff, there is no way of survival, unless you're riding with a parachute, and I haven't yet seen anybody try to ride with a parachute on their back. It is that intense. But the point is, when it comes to encouragement and teamwork, is that we talk to each other all the time. I was in front. I was saying, sharp right, and the message would be relayed back. You know, I'd say, careful, yeah, everybody okay? Because you're still going down at quite a speed. You know, it's a team event. You want to make sure that the brakes work. Good thing. You want to make sure that your lights are working properly when you really descend this very steep hill with a cliff and sure death on the left. Now, the consequences of being reckless going down there and not working as a team is death. Now, the consequences of not working as a team and helping each other through this Christian race, the consequences are possible death, right? You cannot finish the Trans-Bavarians if you kind of average riders like this on your own. You know, we would help each other with snacks. If there's a technical problem, you all stop. You know, the team problem, or rather an individual problem, becomes the team problem. We encourage, we help, we spur on, we share, right? We push if we need to. We take it in turns. And isn't that a great description of the Christian life? You know, we need to encourage one another. We are in a team event. Lone range Christians will not finish the race. It's as simple as that. You know, God has created us to be community. He's created us to help each other get through this and to celebrate together at the end. You know, but the writer of Hebrews has another type of encouragement in mind here as well. Now, in the first verse, verse 1, it starts, "Therefore we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses." You know, the word "therefore" obviously links to the previous chapter. And I know you guys in Cape Town, you know your Bibles well. Amen. I don't need to tell you that Hebrews 11 is God's hall of fame of faith, right? Where numerous heroes of the faith from the Old Testament are listed. People like Abel, Abraham, Noah, Moses, Joshua, King David, Gideon, all the prophets. Many characters are mentioned there. And what they have in common is that they have persevered in God's promises. None of them saw God's promises fully fulfilled, but they trusted God and they persevered in God's promises. They endured through incredible suffering, many of them. But they persevered. And then he starts this passage, "therefore." He says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles." Now, I must tell you that until quite recently, I believed and I even taught that this tells us that at the end of the race, it's going to be like ending in the stadium and all these heroes of the old are going to be there cheering us on. You know, but having studied that out, I don't believe that this is what the author has in mind. I don't think that these heroes of the faith are witnesses of our race, but rather they are witnesses of the life of faith. They are witnesses of the fact that it is possible to endure to the end. You know, they are witnesses of the fact that we can run this race with endurance and know that God will honor us at the end. So it's not so much them looking at us and cheering us on as us looking at them and being inspired by their example. That makes sense? You know, these people who lived thousands of years ago are inspiring. And they are especially relatable to the audience, the immediate audience of Hebrews, you know, the letter of Hebrews. But perhaps they're not the most relatable to us. I certainly am inspired by their stories. But I'm even more inspired by more recent heroes of the faith. Now, each of us here probably knows a person or a few people who have lived more recently, who have completed this race, and who we know are on the other side in the presence of Jesus. Right? People who have persevered through hardships. People who have fuss-baited, you know, through the trials. Who have stayed in the race until the end. And I want to share with you one of my heroes. And you, some of you, yeah, maybe many of you, yeah, will remember who I'm going to talk about. You know, he's such a part of the history of the PE Church. And he had such a huge influence in my conversion. And I'm speaking about Lulama Kabangesi. And I know some of you will remember him. Maybe those who haven't been around for very long, I'll explain why he is such a hero. He's the late husband of Nomteto, who's in the Soweto region now. Lulama led the church in Port Elizabeth about 25 years ago, before I was a disciple. We formed a great friendship. We became family friends. They lived around the corner from us, really. And I just admired this man so much. You know, he was a senior police officer. He faced challenges and opposition during the change to democracy. But he would tell me stories, you know, about the days under apartheid, when he would leave the Eastern Cape and find himself visiting family in Transvaal, as it was in Gauteng, and how at night, you know, the shacks would be raided by the police because he didn't have that pass, Dompas, I think it was called. You know, he'd spend freezing cold winter nights outside under bush. And you know, the amazing thing is he told that story with a smile on his face. He just forgave completely. And I just learned so much about love and forgiveness from this man. You know, he got sick quite suddenly. You know, he preached the word of God until the very end. I think a week or two before he died, he was standing at a pulpit, hardly able to stand, holding on, not always speaking coherently, but he preached the word of God until the very end. That is a hero of the faith. And when I am going through tough times, when I wonder if I can make it, you know, if I can fuspate, I think of people like the Lama. I also think of people who are living today, who are in this race with me, who inspire me. And there are far too many names to mention, but one of them is my lovely wife, Nolene. I mean, it's true. You guys know my wife, don't you? Now, she's awesome. She came to Cape Town really searching, seeking, studied the Bible, got baptized in 3 days, came back. To put it lightly, I wasn't too fired up. I really wasn't too fired up. I'm not going to go into all the detail. No, but she persevered. I didn't treat her well always. No, but she persevered for 7 years. She was the first disciple in Port Elizabeth. Right? She's the mother of the church in Port Elizabeth. You know, my wife is a hero of the faith. And when I'm down, when I wonder whether I can make it, I look at the example of Nolene and I think of those days when she was the only disciple in Port Elizabeth with a husband who was less than supportive. But she hung in, she fuspated. And look what we have in Port Elizabeth now. A great, close family of believers. You know, so that's the event. That's the encouragement. Now let's look at the example. You know, as much as we are inspired by heroes of the faith who have gone before us, heroes of the faith who are in the race with us, the ultimate example of perseverance is Jesus himself. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Now, when we run this race, we must keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Jesus is the greatest example of a person of faith who ever lived. He went to the cross fully trusting God's promise that the Holy One would not see decay. He trusted that God would raise him from the dead and seat him at his right hand in heaven. He persevered, fuspated through the most horrific suffering and persecution with his eyes fixed on the Father. You know, Jesus is the example of faith. You know, our eyes are really important. Our sight is really important for many reasons. One of the things that I really struggle to imagine is not having my sight. I've tried to imagine that at times, and I just don't want to go there. Now, eyes are so important for so many reasons. And I admire people who don't have sight, who are still effective. They're amazing. You know, one important function that our eyes play is that they direct the rest of our body when we're busy doing something. Now, think about that. Imagine if you drive your car with your eyes fixed on the pedals. That's not going to be very good, is it? Or that you're concentrating on the steering wheel. You know, our eyes just automatically look ahead. And through this amazing brain of ours, we're able to adjust to what we see as we drive our car. You know, similarly, you don't run a race looking at your running shoes, right? You're going to trip up. You don't ride your mountain bike looking at your pedals all the time. You know, you're going to fall off and you're not going to finish the race. You know, you look at the road ahead. You know, similarly, you don't spend all your time looking at the runners around you. Yes, we need to know how people are doing so that we can encourage and help and spur on. But we can't be so focused on ourselves, church, we can't be overly focused on everybody around us. You know, healthy self-assessment is important. Now, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, one of the pieces of advice he gave him, he said, test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Yes, healthy self-assessment is important. Now, but I find that, you know, as Christians, we must avoid being too self-focused and so worried about ourselves and focused and analyzing ourselves all the time that we take our eyes off Christ and the finish line. I also think as Christians, we mustn't get obsessed with looking at everybody else around us. Now, critiquing that brother or that sister, talking about this one is not running a good race, or that one's running an awesome race. This is a team event, but we need to take responsibility for our own race too. Right? So there's a healthy balance. Yes, we do self-assessment. We want to know how the rest of the team is doing so that we can help. But ultimately, our eye must be focused on Jesus and the end point. You know, Jesus is the perfecter of faith. This can also be translated as he is the pioneer of faith. Now, Jesus designed the course we're on. Jesus set the course. He has run the course ahead of us. He was the first one to run it. He was the first one to finish it. And we are following behind him. Now, the only way to finish the race that is the Christian race is to run as Jesus ran it, to follow the example and the path of Jesus. Now, we must run as Jesus ran. We must live as Jesus lived. Now, Jesus' life was characterized by hardship and opposition, you know, so that we can expect the same. Now, I think too many Christians also want the glory of heaven, you know, without the hardships of this life. You know, we want to reign with Christ. Isn't that awesome? But the only way to reign with Christ and to share in his rule is also to share in his suffering. The road to glory is paved with hardship. You know, there is no shortcut. We've got to run the race along the course that Jesus has set. You know, as we keep our eyes focused on Jesus, though, we look beyond the hardship. We realize that this is going to be temporary. You know, that God will not test us beyond what we can endure. That our brothers and sisters are going to help get us through this. And we keep our eyes focused on the end point and Jesus himself. So we've looked at the event, the encouragement, and the example. Let's now focus on the end of the race, and Nolene will share this point.
So as we really speak about the end of this spiritual race that we're in, Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, in the Transpaviance race, there are some folk who don't finish the race. But, you know, when they enter that race and when they're at the starting line, that's not what they have in mind. Mm. They start that race with the belief that they will finish the race. But it is a tough race, and they actually say that the race only begins at 100 kilometers because that's when the mountains begin, and there is a lot to endure, as Neil shared, to get to the finish. Just a bit from my experience, you know, the roads are dirt, so you are covered in dust from head to toe. This dust gets everywhere, in your eyes, in your mouth, in your nose. You can't get away from it. There's streams to cross. So your feet get wet, your shoes get wet, and you're riding in these cold, wet, shoes. It is cold, especially at night. And like Neil said, you know, your legs get incredibly tired. Your butt aches. You know, it's sitting on the saddle for hour upon hour. And you need to endure suffering to be able to get to that finish line. But you know, as you approach Jeffreys Bay, you see these lights in the distance that are on the big wind turbines. And it's then that you know, I'm getting close to the finish. But the fact is, you're not at the finish yet. You can't stop. After this, right towards the end, there's a section of single track. And that single track just seems to go on and on forever. But you know, then suddenly you come off the single track and there's the mall right in front of you where you're going to finish. There's someone who's directing you and cheering you on as you come across there. And then you see the banner, this big banner in front of you, and you see the spectators who are welcoming you. And crossing that finishing line is absolutely amazing. There's this incredible joy and relief to know I have made it. To be able to stop pedaling, to be able to get off your bike and start feeling your butt again. After riding for over 16 hours brings you just this amazing sense of satisfaction and joy. So as we look at Jesus speaking about the joy that was before him, what was this joy that he had in mind? You know, he always had the victory before him. He understood that he was overcoming and destroying sin. He understood that he was conquering death, not just for himself, but on our behalf. And as Jesus lived, he always had that finish line in mind. He never took his eye off it. In Luke 12, verse 50, Jesus said, "But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how it consumes me until it is finished." He was speaking about going to the cross. And when Jesus was hanging on the cross, when he was nailed there, in John 19, verse 30, it says, "When he received the drink, Jesus said, 'It is finished.'" He was saying, "It is completed. It is accomplished." He completed everything that his Father wanted him to. And he did it for us. He did it so that we can also cross that finish line. So that we can also have a victorious resurrection life. Now, so what is the joy that lies before us in our spiritual race? Now, I think of how amazing it's going to be to meet Jesus, to actually be with him. I think how incredible it's going to be to be with all my faithful brothers and sisters, you know, to high five and to say, "Wow, it was worth it." In Hebrews 12, verse 3, it says, "Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners." Why must we consider him? It's so that we don't grow weary and lose heart. So that we don't quit this race. So that we don't have a DNF at the end, which in the spiritual life is so much more serious. But you know, there are times when I do grow weary. I really do. There are times I lose heart. There was a point in the race where I really started losing heart. I was feeling nauseous. I couldn't eat properly. I was feeling weak. You know, but my teammates and that sticking together is what really brought me through that bad patch. And we need to encourage each other. We need to remember Jesus. We need to look at what he went through. His torture, his rejection, his betrayal, his bloodshed. You know, I haven't shed any blood in my race. Nowhere close to that. But Jesus did everything possible for us to experience the joy of crossing that finish line. Let's consider what he endured for us. Let's keep running with perseverance. Our finish line is still ahead. Amen.
I forgot to mention the sore butt. It's true. I won't go into gory detail, but it really is anna. Amen. Let me finish off telling you a story. This is a true story of Stephen Akwari. Stephen Akwari was a long-distance runner from Tanzania. He entered the marathon in the Olympics in 1968 in Mexico City. He was up there with the pack until the 19-kilometer mark. He fell badly, twisted his knee, in fact, tore ligaments in his knee. He crudely wrapped his knee using some strips of cloth that spectators provided him with, and he hobbled the rest of the way, limped. Back in the stadium, all the other runners had finished long before him. The organizers of the race, the officials, had packed up their tables. They thought everybody was done. Remember in those days, they didn't have the technology we have nowadays, 50 years ago. People had left the stadium apart from a handful. And then word came that there was still a runner out there. Now the officials quickly put the table up again. They got everything out, got the stopwatches out their hand, got the paperwork ready as he limped into the stadium. He dragged himself the last 300 meters and finished hours after everyone else. And as he crossed the finish line, the few spectators who were there and the handful of officials gave him a standing ovation. When asked afterwards why he didn't just give up, because he knew that, surely he knew that he had no chance of winning the race, he answered, "I did not come all this way to start the race, but to finish it." Now, Stephen Akwari dreaded having a "did not finish" next to his name. Now, the Christian life, the life in Christ, is an endurance event. It will be hard at times. We need to fuspate. We need to push through pain. We need to strap up the knee if we need to. Now, we need to travel light. We need to think about and be encouraged by the example set by other faithful disciples who've gone before us and who are in the race with us. It's a team event. We must be willing to help and encourage your fellow runners. And we need to be willing to accept help and encouragement from others. Most importantly, we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who has cut the course, who has finished ahead of us. And we need to think about the recognition, the reward, and the joy that awaits us. Let's remind ourselves, church, that we have not come to start the race, but to finish it. Amen. Thank you.